Fashion Insider friends, what is up? This is the Fashion Crimes Podcast, where I cover all things fashion, style, shopping, style inspiration, and interview incredible small business owners who are changing the fashion industry for the better. Yes, I'm the best friend you never knew you needed and the poster child for fashion over 40. And I mean way after 40. Say it with me, fashion and style are your friends, not your enemies. I'm Holly Cates, your favorite personal stylist, and let's keep it real, the only Holly you need to know. Turn it up, because I got a lot to say, and I am super stoked you're here. Fashion besties, what is happening? We are super excited to have a guest here with us this week on the Fashion Crimes Podcast. I have always said this, and I'll continue to say this before. If y'all hit up Abby Young Styling, she was on my podcast probably a month or so ago. Of course, I didn't look up the episode number, but she is the gift that keeps on giving. Let's be honest. This is one of Abby's besties, one of her team, one of her compadres. I just want to introduce Monica Enright is a licensed esthetician and professional makeup artist, best-selling author, speaker, beauty trainer, and one of the top-ranked bridal makeup teams in the Bay Area, mother of two, yay! As the founder and CEO of Modern Beauty and Aesthetics, she has worked and mentored with many aspiring and seasoned makeup artists while offering her makeup and skincare expertise to help prepare women entrepreneurs to look and feel their best on camera and in live presentations. Monina, welcome to the Fashion Crimes Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Like you said, you've had one of my best friends in the business, Abby, on here and several other ones. So thank you for having me on.
Oh my God, of course. Okay. I want to know everything. Who are you? How did you get your start? I'm dying to know your ethnicity because me and Amy, my marketing queen, were like, is she Hispanic? Is she Filipino? Is she this? Is she that? She's got amazing skin. So tell us everything.
Thank you, first of all. And you were right, I'm Filipino. But of course, we know Filipinos have some Hispanic in them, you know, because even my last name, Nolasco, so it sounds Hispanic, but that was my maiden name. Anyways, full Filipino, was born in the Philippines. I'm the oldest of three. And we actually came to America when I was 4 years old. And I was just talking to my husband about this yesterday. I actually remember the plane ride as a four-year-old.
Really?
Yeah, I do. It's because it was a little traumatizing. So I think that's why I remember it.
Now, where did you move? Straight to California?
Yes. So a year prior, my father had left the Philippines, moved to the States, got settled, and then was able to bring all of us over. At the time, I was four, my brother was three, and my sister had just turned one. And it's my mom. First time on a plane for all of us. And poor thing, she was so airsick that...
Oh, no!
I had, as a four-year-old, had to take care of the little one-year-old and the rambunctious two-year-old brother who was running up and down the aisleways, knocking people's heads. I tell people, yeah, he's like the human version of Bart Simpson. That was my brother.
That's crazy you remember that. Okay, so you got here.
Got here, and then we've lived in California my whole life. I went off to school in UCSD in San Diego. But prior to that, actually becoming a makeup artist wasn't my plan. Makeup actually was more of a necessity than anything else. It wasn't because I loved makeup. It was because as a nine-year-old, I developed really bad acne.
Oh.
And from the time I was nine till I was 18, the only thing my mother could thing to do for me because she had beautiful skin was take me to the dermatologist. And of course, back then, all they would ever do is look at my skin, figure out what the latest drug was, antibiotic, latest topical. Of course, it would work temporarily because we were just taking care of the symptom, but we never took care of the root of the cause, which is why eventually I went into aesthetics. But let me kind of take you on the journey. So, 9-year-old, as you can tell, awful skin. As a kid that wanted to do things, it got worse and worse, and I didn't want to leave the house.
Did you have cystic acne?
I had acne vulgaris. So stage 2, it was like the big boils.
Yeah.
You see little bits of scarring, but I've worked really hard to take care of it. But yeah, if I could show you guys pictures, it was awful. Because what we know now as an esthetician, and I'm really into gut health, we realized all the antibiotics the dermatologists were giving me was just creating more problems on top of problems. So we went from just light acne to creating acne vulgaris, which was really painful. And of course, as a teenager, it's hard enough being a teenager, but a teenager with bad skin.
Right, right.
Just awful. And of course, back then, I would just wear my hair in front of my face. And of course, that added to it because the oils and everything from my hair was just clogging my pores even more. So fast forward, go off to college, meet my first esthetician. I didn't even know what the heck an esthetician was. But she had me sit down and write a food journal. So I wrote a food journal for, she wouldn't even work with me until we figured out what my triggers were. Because I tried everything. The only thing I hadn't done was Accutane. But at that time, that it was brand new and my mom didn't want, she read the warning signs and she's like, no way, we're not.
The side effects are terrible. Like,
they're terrible. And it was literally had just come out at that point. We didn't even have any studies of what was going to happen to me. So thank God my mom said, nope, we're not going that route. Sat down with this esthetician and after 3 months, we figured out what my triggers were, which was dairy, sugar, and shellfish. And coming from a household of Asians.
Right, of course.
You know, I had shellfish almost every day. So it made sense. Like all the food I was eating was causing the inflammation and then causing things like candida, H. pylori, all that stuff that adds up to acne. Found out that those are my triggers, got rid of it. And like within, oh my gosh, 3 months or so, 90% of my acne disappeared.
Unreal.
Yep. So we were able to heal with her help. I was able to heal my own acne because of my gut health, basically. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who struggle with any kind of acne or acne rosacea, even topical dermatitis, anything skin related, it's all tied to your gut one way or another. So I really, really highly encourage you all, especially if you have teenagers who are going through what I'm going through and you just don't know what to do, please search out a holistic practitioner or an esthetician or someone who believes in gut health. Because when you combine someone like that, you can partner with them, you will definitely see results. I promise you.
Hot tip.
Backing up though, for the makeup, the reason why I got into makeup was in seventh grade, I was just sick and tired of not being part of society anymore because I was just always hiding. Begged my mom, again, Asian household, not allowed to wax, not allowed to shave, not allowed to wear makeup, none of that. Begged her, please, can I please wear foundation just so I could cover up the redness and the discoloration so that I could go out and do things again. And she just felt so bad for me that she's like, yeah, of course you can start wearing makeup. And of course, back then the makeup wasn't that great. But
Right. Drugstore makeup. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Drugstore makeup. So I started wearing makeup and then I started getting really good at it. And I started being able to cover up and camouflage my makeup. And then I went on to college and started, I became the go-to makeup person. I was
really like in your, everyone's at your door. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in a sorority. So we always had like these events. So they would all come into my dorm room and I'd get everybody ready. Well, fast forward after I graduated from college, I actually went to college. I started off as a bio major because I was really interested and fascinated by the body. Unfortunately, me and physics and chemistry just didn't get along. So I ended up changing my major and I knew I wanted to work with kids somehow. So I actually got my developmental psychology degree and that translated into early childhood education units. And I graduated and started teaching preschool right out of college and down in San Diego, which I absolutely loved. But as we all know, teaching does not pay the bills.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So all of a sudden, my friends from college were getting married and I started offering makeup to them as a gift for their wedding. And next thing you know, people are calling me and asking me how much I charge to do weddings. At this point, I'm back in the Bay Area and I'm married. And the first person that calls me says that and says, hey, I was at so-and-so's wedding. You did such a fabulous job. I'm getting married. Can you please give me a quote? And I'm like, can I get back to you on that?
Right. You're like, my prices just went up.
I know. I hang up the phone and I panic. I have no business. And I looked at my husband. I said, she wants me to tell her how much I charge. And he goes, well, give her a number. You know, I don't know. So I quickly started to look around and see what people were charging. And I went middle of the road. And to this day, I'm still middle of the road. I'm not the highest. I'm not the lowest. I'm in the middle because I want to be able to have the majority of people be able to afford something like that. Because I know how it makes my brides feel when they have that experience of having a professional come and do their makeup and hair the day of their wedding. I mean, they're nervous enough. They don't need to be trying to do their own makeup on their wedding day. So that kind of like, I stumbled into bridal makeup that way. My husband was very supportive. Another tip I have for you, if you're a makeup artist, you can turn makeup as a career, but make sure that you treat it like a business. And very importantly, make sure you have a partner or spouse that has your back, because there are going to be many years where it doesn't look like you're going to be able to make it. And if you don't have that support in your back pocket, you'll just crumble and do what most people do and just go get another desk job and turn it just into a hobby, and it never becomes a career. But I'm here to tell you guys, you can totally make this a career. You just got to have that support system, believe in yourself, and treat it like a business, and it will return profit like a business. Don't treat it like a hobby. Because if you treat it like a hobby, you're going to get hobby money. That's what I always tell.
Hot tip. If you treat it like a hobby, you will get hobby money. That is excellent advice. So let's talk about what you're doing now. Is the majority of what you do bridal makeup, or you do everything?
So my beginning of my career, that was my niche, because back then people didn't go on location to do makeup and hair. Of course, now that's the go-to.
Right.
But back then, I was the only one in the Bay Area that would literally go to their hotel room and get their makeup and hair done. So that was the majority for the most part of my business. But then I went back to school because I saw the benefits of skincare so much, not with myself, but then also with my brides. I decided, you know what, makeup and skincare, they go school hand in hand. So I need to go back into school and get my aesthetics license, which I did again with the encouragement of my husband. He said, go back to school, go ahead and do that. I was, 7 months pregnant, by the way, when I went back to school. So that was a challenge, but I was able to do it. And I'm so glad I did, because once I had that little baby, you know, it life changed. And
yeah, sure.
I could have gone back to school. So got my aesthetic license and then started incorporating aesthetics, skincare, facials, waxing, all that into my bridal. So now we're sitting in my skincare studio. So I do have a studio, a brick and mortar. Started out in the back of my home, though. Mm-hmm. So again, because my husband's so sweet and just believed in me, he created a little home studio for me in the beginning. And then from there, once the kids started to grow, I had to move out of the house. So started my first brick and mortar back in 2008 was the first time I moved out of the home. And again, another tip for you is if you're zoned, this is a great way to start your business. Try to have a home-based office if possible, and then grow your business and then go to a retail spot. So I see so many women graduate. They put all this money into a brick and mortar. They don't have any type of a clientele base, and they got to shut their doors.
Yeah.
Because they can't sustain it. So yeah, make sure you grow that clientele before you really start putting too much money into overhead and things like that, because that is the quickest way you're going to want to hang up your business and not do it anymore. So yeah,
that's enough. Great advice for any aspiring estheticians. It's funny because my glam squad here, I have one here and one in New York because we live both places. Duh. Let's keep it real. So shout out with Dallas. She just started doing skincare too, and she's just gotten her own salon and she's doing great. So anyway, let's get to what we want to know. Here at the Fashion Crimes Podcast, we are fashion and beauty now, really over 40. And now, since I just turned 50.
Yay! You look amazing.
Thank you. Woo-woo! Lighting. Anyway, I want to know some tips for aging skin. Do people sit in your chair and you're like, woo, let's start at number one? Or what are we doing wrong? Tell us that. What are some mistakes that we can avoid? Because now we know you.
My biggest tip, because again, of course, I'm so into skincare and skin health and gut health. Let's start with what causes aging, because we're talking about, right, over 40. I, too, am in my 50s. So I do have, if you happen to be in the Bay Area, I do have a machine here, which takes your photo and I could see under the skin. So I can actually see like things like clogged pores, redness, if you have rosacea, if you have, because there's a difference between pigmentation, hyperpigmentation and melasma. So I'm able to see all that underneath the skin. And a tip for you, if you do go see an esthetician, please make sure you talk to an esthetician that does a consultation, because you want them to understand what your concerns are, find out what the root problems are. And then from there, I can then customize a game plan, whether we do a peel, we do something called a nanofusion, what have you. But you shouldn't just go into aesthetics thinking, oh, I'm just going to lay down and they're going to do whatever. You need to have a game plan. So that's tip number one. And I do recommend, guys, especially over 40, to go get a professional facial, because think of it as you go to the dentist twice a year, right? Mm-hmm. In between, mm-hmm. you're taking care of your teeth, your gums, but twice a year, you've got to go in there because the dentist can do things you can't do at home. That's the same thing with your skincare. There's only so much we can do at home. So I say at least change of seasons would be a perfect time to go in and get a facial, just to kind of switch up even your skincare. Have them tell you, okay, we're moving from the fall into the winter. We're going to need to increase your hydration, whatever it might be, because your skin does change. So you have to change up your skin routine as well. So now my tip for aging skin, there are three main factors. So if you guys can remember these three things, you'll have beautiful skin for a long time. Number one is sun damage. A lot of us forget to protect our skin when we go into the sun, or we think, oh, I'm just going to go in the car. I'm just going from home to work. Not that much sun exposure. Well, unfortunately, UVA rays are very long rays and they can actually penetrate through your glass. And I can prove this to everyone, because when they come to see me, I show them most of the sun damage and pigmentation is on the left side.
Interesting.
Because of the driving, right? It's penetrating. Wow. Yeah. So want to wear that sunscreen, guys. It's so important. And also UVA rays, think of it, if they can penetrate glass, it penetrates down to your dermis, which is where collagen and elastin is. Mm-hmm. So someone who is sunbathed all their life, because, you know, back in the day, that was a thing we did.
Of course.
Baby oil in that reflector. Oh my gosh, it was the worst thing we could do for our skin. But if you look at women who did that in their 20s and 30s, their skin almost looks like leather.
Mm-hmm.
Because that UVA ray penetrated down to the dermis and destroyed any collagen and elastin that they had. So the skin has basically turned into a shriveled up raisin. And then so the sun damage, now you've lost collagen, you've lost elasticity, your skin sags and wrinkles.
Okay, question. Sorry. So let's say you get somebody and they have extensive sun damage. Can that be reversed, is my question.
So depends how much damage there is. Because when we talk about sun damage, we're talking about discoloration, but then we're also talking about the loss of elasticity and collagen. So if we can amp up the collagen, and of course, collagen is a big thing right now. You know, lots of people take collagen supplements. Before, it was just collagen in your skincare or in even like lipstick and things like that. But now there's collagen supplements. So that does help, because that's from the inside out, right? Helping the increase the collagen production and elasticity. I can't promise that it's going to completely reverse anything.
But you can try.
You can try.
You can try.
Worth trying, you know. But the other thing to think about, though, is new damage. So if you're working really hard to reverse something, then you want to prevent new damage from happening. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people forget that. They go in and they do things like laser or chemical peels, but then they're doing nothing to prevent new damage from happening. And so it all comes back. And it comes back worse, as a matter of fact. So that's just something to think about. Just because you're reversing it or you're getting it to the point where like, oh, I'm happy with it. Remember, it's going to happen again unless you're protecting it and preventing it from happening.
Every day, 24/7. That's what I'm learning. And I just like to use me as an example. Adjacent to style and fashion, right? You got the gene or you don't. But it can be learned. I went to a med spa to get a facial, which I have been to a med spa before, but I never had a facial there. Anyway, I stuck my face into the thing Okay. Yeah. And it had these blackout curtains and it looked like I had freckles. She goes, all those dark spots, that's sun damage.
Right.
It's like the numbers don't lie. You cannot argue that when I feel like doing a pretty good job. I'm just not.
Yeah. So the machine that you got is similar to mine. What it's showing is damage under the skin that we don't see yet. See, that's the issue with sun damage is it takes years for that sun damage to surface. And so you don't necessarily see it until you're like in your 40s, 50s, and 60s. So damage that happened in your 20s, you might not see until your 40s or 50s. So it's really hard to visually convince people that this is what's happening to your skin until they go into a machine like this. But you can prevent it from surfacing if you start taking care of your skin. So things like exfoliating the skin is really important to prevent those brown spots from coming up. Now, the thing about pigmentation and sun damage is there's two types of pigmentation. There's pigmentation from sun damage, which is what you saw, but there's also pigmentation caused from melasma. Melasma is more hormonally based or hormonally driven or medication driven. So some women, you've heard of the word pregnancy mask, women with the butterfly pregnancy mask. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I haven't.
Okay, so a lot of times women in pregnancy will develop these brown spots. They're like, what the heck is all this? Well, it's hormonally driven. So this is how you know if it's melasma, because you treat them totally different. This is how you know if it's pigmentation from sun damage or if it's melasma. If you see brown spots and then it disappears all of a sudden, but it comes back in the summer or when you're exposed to a lot of sunlight, that's melasma. It comes and goes. Sun damage, it's a brown spot that it starts to get bigger and darker over time. But melasma will come and go.
I have a question. I want to go back to what you said about exfoliation. When you say exfoliation, now, do you mean the scrub that's rough, you know, where you do that on your skin? Or do you mean straight up like exfoliation, like microdermabrasion, that kind of thing? Which, be more specific.
Yeah. So exfoliation is just the process of removing dead skin cells so that new skin cell can surface. But there's two different types. So thank you for bringing this up. There's what we call mechanical exfoliation and chemical exfoliation. So a chemical peel is a chemical exfoliation. So using things like AHA or BHA, alpha hydroxy acids, lactic acid, those are chemical exfoliation. That works from the inside out. Mechanical exfoliation are the little tiny beads that sometimes are
right.
cleansers, or even using a washcloth is a mechanical exfoliation.
Oh,
so those are the two different types. You don't want to do both because, again, what you're doing is you're breaking down the skin's barrier. So you don't want to overly do that. But exfoliating is important because we, believe it or not, we make new skin cells. A new skin cell is developed every 8 hours. So within a 24-hour day, you have a billion new cells. And we're talking not your skin, but your entire body. But imagine your skin. If you're making that many new skin cells a day, if you're not exfoliating the dead skin, it's dead skin on top of dead skin on top of dead skin. So then we have two problems. Number one, penetration of your products is no longer there. So the efficacy of the $100 bottle of serum you're using isn't even penetrating because you've got dead skin on top of dead skin.
That is a hot tip. So if you're not exfoliating at least twice a year, then whatever, I don't care if it's $10 or like you said, $100, it's like putting water on your face. It's not going to do anything.
Exactly. It's okay. Just imagine like it's like trying to put moisturizer through a brick wall. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to.
Damn.
Yeah. So you have to exfoliate. Our bodies create new skin cell, but if we're not exfoliating the dead skin, you never see it. That's why when you do a chemical peel, what it's coming off is dead skin. That's why if you've seen like the blue peels or the medical peels where the skin is literally peeling off, that was just all dead skin. And now you see the new skin coming to the surface.
Now, when you do an exfoliation, the sun damage is eternal. It's still there, right?
Okay. So let me try to break it down so that it's understandable. So sun damage, the reason why it takes so many years for it to surface is because it's an ongoing process of pigmentation. So whenever you go out into the sun, our pigmentation is actually a self-defense mechanism. The reason.
Right. Right. I did know that.
Yeah. It's because it's trying to create a barrier between us and the sun because the sun is so damaging. What happens is every time you go out into the sun, the body's like, oh, we're going into the sun. And so it releases pigmentation. Well, think of the pigmentation as like this. It starts down here. You go out to the sun and, oh, pigmentation, go out to the sun, pigmentation. Pretty soon it's this long finger or dendrite. So when you go in to get laser, they're basically chopping down that dendrite so that it doesn't surface. You're trying to prevent it from surfacing. But if you go out into the sun, within 6 months, you've got another long dendrite. Does that make sense?
It is so hard. It's so hard.
No, I know.
I mean, what am I going to never go outside again? Like,
okay, wear sunscreen. Here's a tip.
Hot tip.
There's an enzyme in our body called tyrosinase. Tyrosinase is what tells the body to create the pigmentation. But if you want to prevent that from happening over and over and over again, we do have skin ingredients that are tyrosinase inhibitors. So if you have melasma and things like that, pigmentation, and you're prone to pigmentation and melasma, put on a tyrosinase inhibitor, your sunscreen, and those will help prevent new damage from happening.
Okay. Do you have products with these things in them that you can recommend? Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. So you'll send me that, and y'all, that'll be in the show notes because she can't list everything right now because it's going to take too long. That is so helpful. Okay. Another question that I have. So I know it's not just your face, it's your neck and your chest. What about your arms? I mean, what about, are you supposed to exfoliate your entire body and put sunscreen on your entire body every day?
That's such a good question. First of all, remember our bodies, we have something called a pH level on our body, and it's different from our scalp, from our face and our body. That's why we have shampoo for the hair, face cleanser for the face, body shampoo for the body. My male clients go, I use one product from head to toe.
Oh, Jonathan, all day. It's like hair. I'm like, it's like, I don't get that, but okay.
Yeah. But the reason why we need the different products is because our pH of our skin is different in different levels of different parts of our body. And the reason why keeping the pH intact is so important is because the pH level on our skin is more acidic. And so that's what creates what we call our skin barrier. And see, during the pandemic, when people were wearing the mask, we were agitating and aggravating the hairs on the skin. We were changing the pH of the skin. So the skin barrier was compromised and breaking down. And we were seeing things called maskne happening.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the pH of your skin, keeping it in the right pH is so important. And that's why when you wash your face, you're actually breaking down the skin barrier. Now, stick with me. The reason why we break down the skin barrier when we're cleansing is we have to allow the cleanser to penetrate through the oil and the pores because the cleanser goes in and liquefies everything, the debris, and brings it up to the surface. Well, when you break down the barrier, now your skin is compromised and now things like allergen and microbes can penetrate the skin. Within an hour, our skin's pH comes back to normal after you cleanse, but nobody waits an hour to put on their serums.
Of course not. Of course not.
That's why we have pH balancing toners. You cleanse your face, break down the barrier, allow the cleanser to do its thing. You spritz on your pH toner.
I got a toner. I got one of those.
Perfect.
I think I do.
Yeah, instantaneously, you bring the pH back to normal. Your skin barrier comes back intact. Now you can put on your serums, your moisturizers, your foundations, everything else. That's why that's step two of your routine. You cleanse, you tone, then you moisturize, and then you sunscreen.
Okay, repeat that.
You cleanse, and you break down that barrier. Then you tone, you bring back the skin barrier. Then you moisturize to lock in all the moisture and keep the skin hydrated throughout the day. And then you sunscreen to protect it from the sun.
Do you do that again at night?
No, no sunscreen at night because you're not being exposed. You're not outside. You're not walking.
So at
outside.
Night, cleanse,
yeah.
Tone.
You cleanse, you tone, do your serums or all of your special treatments, then you moisturize.
Okay.
Super important.
last question, and we're going to have to wrap it up soon. And I so don't want to. Can you show us, and I'm going to describe those of you who are watching us on YouTube. Thank you so much. Please download, like, subscribe, and share. Is there a way you're supposed to rub it in? I'm told that you're supposed to like bring it up on your neck. Can you show us how you're supposed to apply?
Apply skincare or makeup?
Anything.
Or both?
Anything.
Okay. So remember, we don't need to give gravity any more help. You're also go back to this, the face. Your face starts here and ends here. So that's why we include all the things we do here, because this is part of your face.
Okay. So y'all who are just listening, she has touched the top of her hairline. She said your face starts here and ends like at the top of your boobs, right? Or higher.
That's what the French call the décolleté.
The décolleté. Right. Okay, correct.
That's that area right there. Okay. That's part of your face.
That's part of your face. Hot tip. That's hot tip. Okay.
And so when you're cleansing, everything you want to go in an upward motion. Because again, we don't need to give gravity any more help.
That's what I've been doing. That's what I was told.
Upward motion. And you don't have to rub super hard. Let the cleanser do its thing. Let the moisturizer do its thing. Just massage it in. Be gentle with your skin. You don't want to overdo it on your face.
Okay. Do you put moisturizer on your eyelids or not?
Okay. Your eyelids are super porous, so you don't need to put it on your eyelid. If you want, I tell people you could put it right here under the brow bone.
Okay.
It's going to travel on you. And then for the eyes, you put the moisturizer everywhere except for the eye socket. So everything here under the eyes.
Really?
Eye cream. Only eye cream. Do not put your face moisturizer in this area. If you started to develop little white dots, it's because you put face moisturizer under there. So yes, eye cream, eye gels only in this area. Only.
I have been fighting that. I'm like, why am I going to pay this for eye cream when I can just use the moisturizer? Isn't it the same thing? You're telling me it's not. Okay, got it.
Not. And then, of course, you want to be very careful in that area because it's so thin and so fragile that moving it around over and over again is going to create breakdown in collagen and elastin. So you're going to get those fine lines and wrinkles. So tip, do not move the eye, move the product. So that's why, like, I tell people, dot, don't move the skin. Don't move the
okay,
skin.
How long you been sitting on that one? Okay. So you dot and you don't pull the skin. You don't do that. I mean, I don't think I really pull it, but I definitely rub it in. I mean, for sure.
Yeah. And a lot of eye creams now come with the little roller ball. You can use that.
Oh, right.
Stick it in the fridge because the cold actually helps penetrate the product deeper into the skin.
God, there's so much to remember.
I know.
There's so much to but for you, it's probably like, what's the big deal? Like, it takes 5 seconds for you to do it. So
you're just going to have me back. So
I can't. There's so many things. I'm so like, we did not even scratch the surface of what, you know, anyway. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to have the fashion besties send me questions. What do y'all want to know from Onina? How can she help you? What else? I mean, those were my questions. If you want to know more, please let me know. And we're definitely going to have you back for a part two. We're having Valia back, Valia Ramson. She was the hair care expert. She is coming back for a part two. I couldn't stop talking. Like I was like, this is crazy. Like, we have to go. So I want to thank you so much for all of your knowledge. Can you just leave us with a truth bomb, a fact, a mantra, something you live by? The one that I always say is, if you haven't shopped in 5 years, 10 years, your image is probably holding you back. What is your mantra that you live by?
Well, we kind of talked about it throughout the whole interview is, you know, your skin, it's the only thing you have. You can't replace your skin. So I tell everybody, it's never too late or never too early to start taking care of your skin. It really isn't.
Love that. I love that. How can we find you and connect with you on social media so we can haunt your dreams and we can ask you questions and you'll be like, I'm sorry I gave that bitch my number. Like, tell us how we find you.
So my business name is Modern Beauty, and it's modern with an E at the end. So M-O-D-E-R-N-E, beauty.com. That's my website. Or follow me on Instagram, same thing, at Modern Beauty. And I love questions, guys. My background was education. I love to teach. I love to give my knowledge. So if you want to email me, I'm happy to answer your emails as well. So that's modernbeauty@gmail.com.
Thank you so much. This was amazing. Just like I knew it was going to be, we are definitely having you back on for part two. We have so much more that we need to ask. I'm doing a couple things right. Not everything I'm doing right. Let's be honest. I can always use more room for improvement. And every time I get mad, I'm like, I got to do something else. I got to buy another eye cream. I got to do this. It's just what you have to do. And then really, I would just say, and as I'm speaking for you, it's all about genetics, isn't it?
Partly genetics.
Part genetics. So if you're at a good playing ground, you know, you can always level up, you know.
Absolutely.
You can always level up. And I look at my mom and I'm like, that's exactly how I'm going to age, you know, and her skin looks good, but she cares. But if you're not around that, then it's hard to know because you don't know what you don't know, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So yeah. Get some hot friends with some good skin. And if you're in the Bay Area, I would be at your door like 24/7. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been phenomenal. I love you just like I knew we would. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have questions for Monina, please send them to me or to her. We are definitely going to bring her back. And if y'all have not subscribed to the podcast or our newsletter, y'all get with it. Okay. Make sure that you leave us a review on Amazon and leave us a review on YouTube. That would be phenomenal. This has been Holly Cates, your favorite personal stylist, and as always, the only Holly you need to know. I am making more friends and beauty by the minute, loving this journey for us. And what I really love more than anything is sharing it all with you, the fashion besties. Y'all have a fabulous fashionable week. See you next week. Bye.